Hello, and welcome to Life Matters, the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. Right now, your donation to support Assure's life-saving work can go even farther. Some donors have challenged us to raise $500,000, and if we do it, they will give us an additional $120,000. But we only receive the $120,000 if we raise $500,000 by June 13th. Last year, we served over 1,600 women, many at high risk for abortion. With your help, we can reach even more. Be part of this life-saving work. Go to firststeptolife.com/bot and give now. That's firststeptolife.com/bot.
Welcome to Life Matters. I'm your host, Toni Clark, Executive Director of Assure Women's Center in Omaha. Today, we're joined by Teresa Caney, a women's health nurse practitioner with over 24 years of experience, a NAPRO technology medical consultant, and the host of Hormone Genius podcast, which has reached over 750,000 women. She works at Sancta Familia Medical Apostolate and has a heart for restoring women's health through life-affirming holistic care. Teresa, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
I'm glad you're here. I'm looking forward to our conversation. To start, can you share a little bit about your background and how you became passionate about integrating faith, medicine, and pro-life advocacy in your work?
Absolutely. So I'm from here in Omaha, Nebraska, born and raised, grew up in a great family. And, you know, a lot of us, I think, attribute sometimes our family to who we are. And I really do in my situation. My parents, my dad was a teacher at North High School. Mm-hmm. My mom, stay-at-home mom. We had six kids, or I'm one of six siblings. And when I grew up kind of in a holistic family. My mom was really into health. We had Prevention magazine in every bathroom. So I was always learning about like holistic things. Yeah. And I loved that aspect. I loved the healing nature of the body and learning about that. And then I loved animals. So I loved like taking care of animals. I would always bring home a stray cat, a dog, a squirrel that fell out of the tree. I was always trying to save these animals' lives. Mm-hmm. And that just led to my dad saying one day, you know, Teresa, I think you'd make a really good nurse. Mm. And so when he sent me off to college in Iowa at Briarcliff, I went into a nursing program, played some soccer while I was there, loved that, but came out a nurse and knew that that was going to be my passion. When I left nursing school, I knew that I wanted to be involved in women's health. And that really stemmed from a childhood where my mother started talking about abortion, you know, when I was at the age where it was appropriate. And she was very pro-life. And one of the things that she did was stood out in front of the two abortion clinics in Omaha back in the late 80s. And she started bringing me to pray on Saturday mornings. And that became something that really impacted me. And so I considered myself pro-life. And when I got to, even in high school, I was starting to talk about it with my high school students and kind of, you know, do you guys think about this? We should pray for abortion, all these things that became a part of my mission. So when I got out of college, I knew I wanted to stay in that type of ministry where I was supporting women. And that led me to become a nurse practitioner in women's health. So for the last 20, almost 25 years, I've been a nurse practitioner specifically in women's health. Mm-hmm. Now, this was unique to me because if you know anything about nurse practitioners and women's health, they kind of are bred to have this very contraceptive, abortion-minded mentality, mm-hmm. but that was very different than the way I was going to approach it. Mm-hmm. And that led me to learning about this science, and you said the word right, NAPRO technology, which is really about life-affirming and restorative women's health. And so it's a very unique way to see not only the woman's body, but the man's body too, and the complementarity between them, mm-hmm. and how we can help people to understand how this gift that we have as human beings, this ability to create life, is essential to who we are.
Yeah. You mentioned the word holistic, and I think that's, I'll say a buzzword these days, but I think the way you have interpreted, the way you use it, really starts from when we were very much earlier than we are now. And so I think that's a great thing. And so let's get into it. I want to start with the big picture question. Today, we often hear abortion advocates and groups like Planned Parenthood claim to be pro-women. They use this term like productive rights and women's health care. But pretty much everything that they say, they actually undermines women's dignity and health. How have they hijacked the language, and what does truly pro-woman life-affirming care look like in contrast?
Yeah, this, you know, thinking about this question, when we think about what oftentimes, and this would go back to even high school and, mm-hmm. you know, what we think about with sex education, like oftentimes we reduce the human body in this area of sexuality to the negative, right? Or to what we would consider risk mitigation. Mm-hmm. And that's the only focus.
Yep.
It is, how do we prevent something very, very terrible from happening to you? And the two terribles are basically pregnancy and some disease you're going to get from having sex.
Yeah.
And that's it. And so Planned Parenthood takes that negativism, and then they create a fear. Mm-hmm. It's a fear-based system, yeah. What Planned Parenthood does. It's, we've got your back, but we've got your back when we're just focused on the fact that these two negatives are almost 100% likely to happen to you,
yeah.
And we're going to be here for you. Mm. Pro-woman's healthcare is taking that and completely flipping it on its head, mm-hmm. and saying that your body was actually incredibly designed good.
Yeah.
Let's focus on that first and how it works. So as women, you can kind of think it as, you know, we have these superpowers. We are ovulators, mm-hmm. we are gestators, and we can lactate. So we are lactators. So those three superpowers, if you start to, you know, from a young age, focus on the human body and what it was created to do, and create this empowerment and this kind of language around it that really makes women believe, wow, this is super cool that my body does these things. Mm-hmm. It's a completely different picture when you walk then into a high school woman and you learn about sex.
Yeah.
Because, you know, most of us learn about sex without any context.
Yeah.
We're like, you know, you kind of read about it in a book, or you're curious about it. Your parents didn't tell you about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, now it's pretty much everywhere. But it's all, again, it's like we have no really context for the way our bodies were designed. Mm-hmm. And so what I've really come to believe, and this is not something that I just figured out, it took years and years, the answer to restoring a culture of life, mm-hmm. starts when a girl is 9, mm-hmm. 10, yeah. 11, even a young boy at those mm-hmm. ages. And it really is the mm-hmm. desire of our hearts to integrate into who we are,
yeah.
from a young age, mm-hmm. and how God designed us.
That makes perfectly good sense to me. I used to speak on abstinence or healthy relationships when I was in the school. And you're right, we come at it from purely a don't have sex till you're married. But if we could just back it up a little bit and talk about the benefits of a healthy relationship or maintaining your own personal health, I think we would serve our youth so much better.
100%.
Much better, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you practice at Sancta Familia Medical Apostle in Omaha. For listeners who may not be familiar, what is Sancta Familia, and what makes it unique in the world of women's healthcare?
Yeah, Sancta Familia, or you can say Sancta Familia. It's Latin. It stands for Holy Family.
Okay.
A lot of people think, you know, that it's an unfamiliar word to them, so it can sound like, what is Sancta Familia or Sancta Familia? But really, it's just a family practice office, and we really believe in holistic healthcare. Yeah. And that just means that every human person that walks through the door is treated with the dignity that God has given them. And we believe that it's not just your body we're fixing, it's your mind, it's your spirituality. Mm-hmm. And so when you walk through the doors of Sancta Familia, on one side, you're going to see a chapel with glass doors, and you can see the presence of God is right there. Mm-hmm. And that, for some people, you know, you're like, if they're not religious,
yeah.
At first sight, they may not be even comfortable with that. But I can tell you this, when they get to the back and they have the experience of meeting even our receptionist or the patient care person who will room them,
yeah.
or the healthcare professional that will see them that day, almost every person, no matter what faith background they walked in with, will walk out and say, something's different about this, mm-hmm. place. And really it is. It's just how you treat people. Mm-hmm. And it's really seeing them and listening to them and listening to their hurts. Mm-hmm. I often say to my patients, most healing of health, you know, really doesn't happen in a doctor's office. Mm-hmm. It happens in a relationship, in a team effort, mm-hmm. to really see that you have the power of your health in your own hands.
Yeah. That's sweet. We kind of feel the same way here at Assure. We always talk about, the girls may not necessarily know what to say, but they say it's different. Mm-hmm. And we just believe that's the presence of the Lord. And so I think that's really sweet. Good. So one of the services you offer is abortion pill reversal. And Assure partners with Sancta Familia by referring to you if we're contacted by a woman who has taken the abortion pill and then regrets it. Let's talk about abortion pill reversal. For those who may not be familiar, what is the abortion pill, and how does the reversal process work?
Absolutely. So the abortion pill, and I'll say this first because this is often confused, and I'm sure you know this too, Tony, that this is not the morning after pill. This is not the one that you stop at the pharmacy, get from the pharmacy counter, where it's to prevent pregnancy after an unprotected act of intercourse. This is a confirmed pregnancy where a woman has chosen to terminate her pregnancy and is going to do it through a process of medication. Mm-hmm. And in Nebraska in 2023, I just looked at the statistic, 82% of all abortions in Nebraska were medication abortions, or sometimes referred to as chemical abortions. Mm-hmm. The process of having the actual abortion is to get these medications through a healthcare professional. Many times now it's done through telemedicine. Mm-hmm. And it has to be done within a certain amount of weeks gestation. It really is supposed to be through 10 weeks of gestation and not after that point. It becomes more dangerous. There's two drugs. One is called mifepristone and one is called misoprostol. The first drug, mifepristone, is an actual drug that blocks progesterone. So it literally blocks the action of the hormone progesterone at the receptor site of the lining of the uterus. That would cause the baby to, in a sense, detach from the lining of the uterus or lose its source of life, giving nourishment of this hormone progesterone. And then after 2 to 3 days, then the patient is told to take a second set of medication, actually 24 hours later, usually. But it's misoprostol, and that is a drug that basically expels the pregnancy after it has been lost. And that's, in a sense, a forced miscarriage. But it's, you know, happening because of the medication.
Yeah. You know, I think people don't really understand. Thank you for explaining that. I don't think people really understand that young ladies are taking this abortion pill and then going home and having a miscarriage. And I think anyone that has suffered a miscarriage probably understands a little better. But I just don't think the general public understands that we're sending girls home to potentially have a miscarriage all alone in their bathrooms. And just the consequences of that, those actions down the road, is really harmful to that young lady's psyche, her emotions, and it's just a travesty.
Absolutely. I mean, and when we think about that, I mean, abortion, having an abortion, no one wants an abortion, right? Like, that's not a choice anyone is excited to make. So they're already distressed. They've already probably anguished about this decision. And then, like you said, to be alone and having this process happen to them. And then to say that somehow there's no mental effects from that, you know, mental health, it just seems ridiculous. Almost like you wouldn't have mental health effects from losing someone in your life or having something tragic happen to you.
Yeah. And also think, too, just being those young ladies delivering not a blob of tissue, but an actual baby that they sometimes are able to see has to be traumatic.
Absolutely.
And once again, it's just kind of hurts my heart that we've come to this in our culture.
Hi, this is Kyle with Assure Women's Center. Right now, your donation to support Assure's life-saving work can go even farther. Some donors have challenged us to raise $500,000, and if we do it, they will give us an additional $120,000. But we only receive the $120,000 if we raise $500,000 by June 13th. Last year, we served over 1,600 women, many at high risk for abortion. With your help, we can reach even more. Be part of this life-saving work. Go to firststeptolife.com/bot and give now. That's firststeptolife.com/bot. Thank you.
So there's a lot of misinformation circulating around abortion pill reversal, also known as APR. What does the science say about its effectiveness and safety?
The science at this point says that it's effective and the safety is definitely there to do the reversal. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to say there definitely needs to be more study on it, but at this point, we have some what we call retrospective studies that have looked at over, you know, 600 patients and shown a 66% success rate at reversal. There's been a couple of other smaller studies that shown over at least 50% success rate. And so we know that it's successful. And if you are a woman who has decided to, change her mind or have that second chance at choice is what we kind of call it. I mean, I don't know a more desperate situation that a woman would be in when she knows that she's about to lose something very important to her, the life of her child. and to not want that to happen, mm-hmm. and that she's already taken this pill. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then the safety of it, we know that progesterone, so we'll talk about the reversal actually uses progesterone, yeah. which is the hormone that we discussed that is being blocked in the action of that first medication, mifepristone. So it literally is the antidote yeah. to mm-hmm. the drug that you gave the first time. And I don't know why there's so much controversy around this, because yeah. it's kind of as simple as if you walked in the hospital and your oxygen level was 80%, it's supposed to be 100%. What are they going to do?
Give you oxygen.
Yeah, that's right. It's the antidote to the problem. Yeah. So if you give a drug that literally blocks the action of a hormone that is the most important hormone to all pregnancy, we all know that. So it's called progestational hormone, progesterone. Mm. And you give progesterone in its natural form, in a sense, or what we call bioequivalent form of the human body.
Yeah.
It just does what it's supposed to do, mm-hmm. which is protect the baby
yeah.
and to help the baby grow. And so it's a very safe medication, been used since the 1950s. It's been used to prevent miscarriage now. And there's two large studies, the PROMISE study and the PRISM study, that have proven that it's been helpful in preventing miscarriage for patients who are high risk for miscarriage. And it's been used in vitro fertilization to help pregnancies continue in that process too. So it's a longstanding safe medication. And we believe at Sanctifamilia, and many people believe, that women deserve that second chance
Absolutely.
To see their baby make it, you know?
Yeah. I guess my personal opinion about why people are so against it, or there's so much confusion about it, is because it directly affects the abortion industry, because something that they have promoted is now being reversed. And this, it's just a culture of death.
And they don't want anyone to believe that it's possible yes. that a woman would regret mm-hmm. having yes. an abortion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So can you share a story or experience, maybe even generally, that illustrates why this work is so critical for women who regret starting a chemical abortion?
It's so critical because these are women who are people that mm-hmm. love their children.
Yeah.
And what you see on the end of a successful abortion reversal, and we've seen this now, mm-hmm. I mean, I think we have around 30 cases of reversal that have gone through and been successful. And we're hoping to publish those results too, to kind of help this process of people seeing this is a valid choice.
Yeah.
When those women come back to you and say, I cannot believe this worked. Like yeah. they're just as surprised. Yeah. We're kind of all surprised. Like this works.
Yes.
And then they're showing you their baby and they're so grateful. They're grateful to God. They're grateful yeah. to you. They're grateful that they had, again, the chance yeah. to take a situation that seemed absolutely dire and leading towards death mm-hmm. and bring it back to life.
Yeah. Well, now you've spoken about how the birth control pill is often seen as the default for women's reproductive health. What are some of the risks or drawbacks that don't even get talked about enough?
Yeah. And on my podcast, The Hormone Genius, we did a podcast on this, the unknown kind of or unspoken side effects of the birth control pill. Even the known ones don't get spoken of. I mean, I often ask my patients, hey, when you were put on that medication, did they go through the risk of blood clots, yeah. you know, liver tumors, things like this? No, they didn't. They don't go through it. But then there's all these other effects. One of the ones that I think is truly kind of, you know, I think concerning is, if they measure what we call just an inflammatory marker, it's called hsCRP. It's just a really, really specific, highly sensitive inflammatory marker. Those women on birth control, those inflammatory markers double.
Mm.
And that's concerning. They see that it causes a disruption of the microbiome in the gut. Mm-hmm. And that disruption can lead to something called leaky gut or intestinal permeability. Mm-hmm. When that happens, you've got things entering into your bloodstream that can lead to an increased risk of autoimmune disease, which mm-hmm. they have also seen. There's a link to Crohn's disease and being on birth control. I think people don't realize that. There is also, you know, a study that shows that women on birth control literally make almost half the amount of muscle that they would normally make if they're trying to build muscle. Yeah. So take two women going to the gym, going to go lift some weights, and I want to build muscle, right? if you're on birth control, it stunts your ability to grow muscle. Hmm. And, you know, that's interesting because a lot of times athletes, you know, who are really high performers, they lose their periods because of their athleticism and low body fat, and doctors put them on birth control. Hmm. And that doesn't help the problem because they're not going to be able to perform at their highest level if they can't have the hormones that basically make their muscles work correctly. Those are just a few, but one of the other ones that, I mean, these are, there's so much that goes on with the brain and birth control, but they're looking at, of course, the actual changes like physically that happen with the brain and the hippocampus. The brain kind of shrinks in certain areas. They're also looking at the way women make choices around mate, and they've noticed that women who are on the birth control actually choose men that are more genetically similar to themselves versus genetically diverse, which, you know, just an evolutionary principle is offspring need to be genetically diverse, not right. And so there's just all these unique things. There's an incredible book called Your Brain on Birth Control, written by a psychologist, PhD, who is not anti-birth control. She is just trying to say, hey, we should be looking at this, you know, and I think a lot of people in this new generation of women are asking those questions.
Why do you think that this is not something that's more widely talked about?
Well, I always say it's like, I always think of a woman like in the grave clasping like the birth control pill. In a sense, like we have told the culture, this is more important than anything. The control of your fertility and your ability to kind of, you know, take these pills, it trumps everything. It trumps everything. And that's, you know, we've basically set into also women's minds that in a sense, babies aren't good.
Yeah,
because we've made it seem like the control of fertility trumps like these big time side effects.
Absolutely.
Right. Like, hey, well, yeah, those are really terrible. But, you know, you should take the pill anyway.
Yeah.
And women are told that every single day of their lives. And I think, again, they're starting to, I always say, put your common sense cap on. Put your common sense cap on. I had a lady that she saw me a few weeks ago. She's 37. She's been on the pill since she's 13. Or 16. And that's over 20 years of using that medicine. She has no idea if she wants to have children because I don't think she's ever thought of it in a sense of her body has been suppressed.
Yeah, for so long.
And she's never known what I call the real hormonal her. Like she doesn't know her own natural hormones. Common sense would tell you a healthy functioning endocrine system doesn't need to be shut down for 20 years. And we've never asked the question, is that an okay thing to do to women? Like true feminism is like caring about women. Really, should we take synthetic hormones that disrupt the endocrine system and put women on them for year after year after year?
Well, it seems like, you know, on one hand, we think we have control of our bodies or our, you know, our desire to have babies, but we're really losing control of our bodies by taking the birth control pills that we think are giving us the control.
It's a really good point.
Well, how does hormonal birth control tie into a broader cultural mindset that separates fertility from womanhood? You kind of touched on that a little bit. And how does this affect the pro-life movement?
If you just look statistically, right, at the pro-life movement, in a sense, abortion's been around before birth control, but everyone thought that birth control would be the answer to abortion. And still people think that. But if you just looked at the trends, you know, like the data doesn't lie. Mm-hmm. When birth control flooded into the culture, abortion rates skyrocketed.
Yeah.
And it's even written in, I think, to Planned Parenthood versus Casey that the way the judgment kind of read that we need abortion as a backup to failed birth control. Like everybody knew birth control would have a failure, but then give it to a 15 and 16 year old. Like, of course it's not going to be taken correctly and used the right way. Right. So what are you going to do when you're telling people that they have a way to control fertility? So they're going to be able to have sex whenever they want, but then that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Well, this is the experiment we tried.
Yeah.
And the experiment is now what, close to 70 million abortions in the last, like since 1975.
Yes.
I mean, so it didn't, it threw gasoline onto a fire, in a sense, a fire that I think everybody knew wasn't a good thing. You can go back to like listening to Bill Clinton back in the day. no one thinks abortion is a good thing. We want it safe, legal, and rare, right? Well, that mantra has changed, right?
Absolutely.
I would like to go back to that. That seemed bad at some point, but now you're like, guys, what has happened?
Yeah.
What you do is you have created a system where people, we have not built now, we're turning a culture that was built on family, mm-hmm. right? The foundation of family, the economic, the cultural stability of our country being in mm-hmm. two people who believe in a partnership together and they create this life together. And that makes the world go round yeah. in a sense. Mm-hmm. And we've now told a lie that you don't need that.
Yeah.
That you can be happy without children, that you can be happy without relationship.
Yeah.
And, you know, from my faith, what we learn is that we are image bearers.
Yes.
We are image bearers of God and this Trinitarian type of love. And if I can just get people to listen to me from a spiritual standpoint, what contraception does is it literally takes a part of the Trinity and says, you know, you have no value. Mm-hmm. And where that value is love.
Yeah.
Because it's the Father, right? God the Father, Son, Christ. Christ gives back all this love, perfect love between the two. And what does that perfect love have to do? Mm-hmm. Explode outside of itself.
Yeah.
Perfect love absolutely has to explode outside of itself. And contraception puts a halt to that.
Mm.
And you can see it in every single place in our culture, mm-hmm. from divorce mm-hmm. to abuse mm-hmm. to children without fathers, like yeah. abortion rates, pornography,
yes.
All of it mm-hmm. is tied to our lack of believing that the way we are created by God, this ability to create eternal souls on this earth, is somehow not good.
Yeah.
Please join us next week for part two of our interview with Teresa Kenny. We want to thank you for joining us on Life Matters this week. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. Right now, your donation to support Assure's life-saving work can go even farther. Some donors have challenged us to raise $500,000, and if we do it, they will give us an additional $120,000. But we only receive the $120,000 if we raise $500,000 by June 13th. Last year, we served over 1,600 women, many at high risk for abortion. With your help, we can reach even more. Be part of this life-saving work. Go to firststeptolife.com/bot and give now. That's firststeptolife.com/bot.